Chapter 7. Living in the Antechamber of Hope. Assume that, like Yevgenia, your activities depend on a black swan surprise, i.e., you're a reverse turkey. Intellectual, scientific, and artistic activities belong to the province of Extremistan, where there's a severe concentration of success, with a very small number of winners claiming a large share of the pot. This seems to apply to all professional activities I find non-dull and interesting. I'm still looking for a single counterexample, a non-dull activity that belongs to Mediocristan. Acknowledging the role of this concentration of success and acting accordingly causes us to be punished twice. We live in a society where the reward mechanism is based on the illusion of the regular. Our hormonal reward system also needs tangible and steady results. It too thinks that the world is steady and well-behaved. It falls for the confirmation error. The world has changed too fast for our genetic makeup. We are alienated from our environment. Peer cruelty. Every morning, you leave your cramped apartment in Manhattan's East Village to go to your laboratory at the Rockefeller University in the East 60s. You return in the late evening, and people in your social network ask if you had a good day, just to be polite. At the laboratory, people are more tactful. Of course you didn't have a good day. You found nothing. You're not a watch repairman. Your finding nothing is very valuable, since it's part of the process of discovery. Hey, you know where not to look. Other researchers, knowing your results, would avoid trying your special experiment, provided a journal is thoughtful enough to consider your found nothing as information and publish it. Meanwhile, your brother-in-law is a salesman for a Wall Street firm and keeps getting large commissions, large and steady commissions. He is doing very well, you hear, particularly from your father-in-law, with a small, pensive nanosecond of silence after the utterance, which makes you realize that he just made a comparison. It was involuntary, but he made one. Holidays can be terrible. You run into your brother-in-law at family reunions and invariably detect unmistakable signs of frustration on the part of your wife, who, briefly, fears that she married a loser before remembering the logic of your profession. But she has to fight her first impulse. Her sister will not stop talking about their renovations, their new wallpaper. Your wife will be a little more silent than usual on the drive home. This sulking will be made slightly worse because the car you're driving is rented, since you can't afford to garage a car in Manhattan. What should you do? Move to Australia and thereby make family reunions less frequent? Or switch brother-in-laws by marrying someone with a less successful brother? Or should you dress like a hippie and become defiant? That may work for an artist, but not so easily for a scientist or a businessman. You are trapped. You work on a project that doesn't deliver immediate or steady results. All the while, people around you work on projects that do. You're in trouble. Such is the lot of scientists, artists, and researchers lost in society rather than living in an insulated community or an artist colony. Positive, lumpy outcomes, for which we either collect big or get nothing, prevail in numerous occupations. Those invested with a sense of mission, such as doggedly pursuing in a smelly laboratory the elusive cure for cancer, writing a book that will change the way people view the world while living hand to mouth, making music or painting miniature icons on subway trains and considering it a higher form of art despite the diatribes of the antiquated scholar Harold Bloom.